The greatest of all time, Rockin' Randall Bo Cephas, Hank Williams Jr. live. That was from Birmingham, Alabama, this past Friday night. I wanted to start by thanking Shane Keith for coming on the last time, a damn month ago. So I have had to have a month to recover for Shane shut down the North Spring Sessions podcast, which is what you're listening to now with your host, Dustin Kennedy. And, man, what a month it has been since Shane Keith last joined us on March the 7th. Today is April the 8th. I was so aggravated because we tried to get Shane's headphones working that my wife, God bless her, Brandon Howell, had me worked up so good. Right? Well, that sounded a little squirrely, didn't it? He had me fixed up with all these cords and cables. I've called Brandon and asked him 100 times how to run a podcast because I didn't watch Lucas Hickman do it for years and years and years. So, Lindsay started coming out trying to get mine and Shane's headphones in last time, and it just completely messed it up. So what better way to start with Hank Williams Jr., because me and Shane tried to play you all those classic Bo Cephas songs, some of the more non-big hits that Hank had. And as you noticed, the part to where the phone, the cord connects to my phone, which connects to the mixer board, didn't put out the music like you just heard. So you got to hear quite a bit of me and Shane singing Rockin' Randall, who for my money, like I said many a times, is the greatest of all time. Now, what have I been doing since March the 7th? Well, every weekend I've been somewhere, and 90% of it was due with music. So we went to Lexington for a concert. Me and Lindsay went romancing to Lexington, Kentucky to see Riley Green and Tracy Lawrence and Ella Langley. Men, let me tell you something. If you want to do something romantic for your wife, just don't spend $100 on a nice overpriced dinner. You don't have to dress up in dresses and suits. If you want to get your wife just on top of the moon, just go take her look at Riley Green for an hour and a half. That'll do it. Like I said, not a gay bone in my body, but that's a pretty man, guys. I'm comfortable enough in my sexuality to say that that Riley Green's a sexy man. I have no bones about it. And my wife never knew I existed. For the 90 minutes that man was on stage, she gazed like a 13-year-old schoolgirl into those beautiful eyes of Riley's while I was just sitting here, not even drinking beer because Rupp Arena cuts it off an hour before the show. So I'm just sitting here. First Dr. Pepper I've ever bought at a concert, I assure you. Not cool, Rupp Arena. So yeah. I mean, I gazed at Ella Langley, but God, I got a little tack to me. Old Hamilton just gawked like a hormone-ridden teenage girl at Riley Green and his muscles. He's got muscles and places. I ain't even got places. How in the hell can I compete with that? Tracy Lawrence looked like he was going to have a damn stroke the whole time, but he's Tracy Lawrence, country music legend, and did a nice little medley tribute to some of the people, country music legends, who've passed away, Joe Diffie and Conway Twitty and a couple more, Charlie Daniels. Really cool show. That was in Lexington on March the 8th. That was what I did after the Shane Keith episode. And I thought Shane came ready. Everybody said, damn, Shane came with his notes, and he came prepared. And I said, damn, I usually just wing it. Right now I've got notes, and I don't know. They're all over the place. I'm the most organized person you'll ever see in your life. Gatlinburg was the next stop. That was the family vacation. That was for my man Bayless James, turning big 8 years old. He, the middle child, which is my favorite. You know, you got to show a little extra You know, but Jack gets babied. Waylon's been the OG, the one that can do no wrong. Then you got old Bayless. He's a little rough around the edges, been known to throw a fit. You know, he got us kicked out of restaurants. He's about 6 months old. We couldn't go out in public because of Bayless James throwing his damn hellacious fits. So I like to tell him he's my favorite. And sometimes he is. We just had a triple overtime classic on NBA 2K. I shaved some points, took the L. That's what you do. Waylon can't do that. See, I can stay competitive, but at the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, I just don't want to lose to, you know, I don't want to have to beat my 7-8-year-old here. So I let him win ultimately, but not Waylon. Mr. Tryhard, as the kids say, he cannot. There's something in his fiber that will not allow him to throw a game to Bayless so we can all sleep well, you know. Because Bayless gets a little agitated at night anyway, you know, and then Waylon goes up there and just lays the smack down on him, you know, shooting threes all over him, and God forbid, you know, at the end of the world. Gatlinburg, listen, you can go to Gatlinburg and spend more damn money in 3 days than you will at the beach, because the beach, you know, you just go out and you're just at the beach every day. You're not spending a ton of money if you're in a family. Gatlinburg, you got to do all the stuff. You got to do all the stuff to feel like you can't just go to the cabin and stare at each other, right? You can stare at each other at home. So we did all the touristy things. I might as well had a damn fanny pack on. I did some touristy things in Gatlinburg in those 3 days, but it was fun. We did the mountain coasters, which I highly suggest. Love those. It was fun. First time we ever done those. We did the aquarium. And let me tell you something. I hate aquariums. Love zoos, hate aquariums. Love zoos, love them. I'll go to any zoo in America. I've been to several. Aquariums, I mean, you got to do some. You got to have some cool stuff. And by all accounts, Gatlinburg, nice aquarium. As nice aquariums I've been in, I guess. At the end of the day, it's an aquarium. Don't give a damn. Bayless didn't give a damn. Waylon didn't give a damn. Lindsay and Jack loved it. But we did it. We played. We played mini golf, putt-putt. And like I told Bayless, it was Bayless that wanted to do it. Again, it was his birthday. And I said, Bayless, I just want you to go in here with an open mind that Jack's going to ruin this. I'm talking about absolutely going to ruin every aspect of this. Hole 1 through 18, Jack's going to act a fool. It's just what's going to happen. We know it. It was the end of the day. So everybody was a little ornery. Everybody was a little tired. The Titans had just signed Calvin Ridley, so me and Waylon's on Twitter in between holes. So Lindsay's giving us the what for that we're on family time, but we're on Twitter trying to figure out about Calvin Ridley and the contract and all that. And so that was a thing. But then Jack just completely goes Happy Gilmore. I mean, he's throwing clubs because he can't get it. You know, he shot about 22 times per hole, so we got out of there in about 3 hours and 3 minutes because Jack thought he had to shoot. I had to putt and putt and putt and putt, and I took a TikTok. If you follow me on TikTok, I don't know DreKennedy83 or 1983. I don't know what my handle on TikTok is. Look it up. You can find it. And I put the voiceover to Happy Gilmore. Just go in the hole. The hole is your home. You're too good for your home. Or Jack is just eyeballing the hole. And he's throwing the golf club. It was good times. If anybody don't, you know, and. What else did we do in Gatlinburg? We took the old-timey photo, which was cool. I mean, we hadn't done one since Waylon was little, so Bayless and Jack, that was new for them. We did all the touristy stuff I told you. We did the Wax Museum. The Wax Museum has no business being that fun. But last time when we went 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago during COVID, pretty good friggin' time. Now, you tell me why that's such a good time, I don't know. But you can look through Facebook and see some of the poses we did, and I have no idea. That was my most fun probably thing that we did all 3 days in Gatlinburg was the Wax Museum. It has no business. One guy in there now. You know, they got King Kong, and Jack's on a big King Kong trip right now, and we went to take pictures, and he's like, the guy's like, you got to put your phone up. This is where I make my money. I'm like, oh, really? Really, Poindexter. This is where we're drawing the line at. I've already paid $100 for my family of five, or whatever it was, more than $100 probably. to come to look at wax museum figures, but I got to pay you. I've got to pay you to stand in the hands of King Kong. This guy, I assure you, if that guy at the museum, I'm going to limb here. I've known cool people, and I've known non-cool people. And my guy that takes the photographs at the wax museum in Pigeon Forge at the King Kong hand, if he's ever been laid in his life, he paid for it. Backpage.com is where my man got laid, because he's not fun at parties. He don't get invited to them because he like put his hand over my phone. Then my wife narked me out. He was like, oh, I put my phone up. And he's like, oh, no pictures. This is where I make my money. Okay, Lester. Okay. Vern. So I was, oh, I didn't know. I pulled the old, you know, Dave Chappelle trick. Oh, I didn't know. I couldn't do that, sir. Sorry. And then he turned his back, and I put my phone in Lindsay's. Like, yeah, he told you no phone. I was like, oh, shit. Guess what? He had his back turned, and he saw her reprimand me, and he reprimanded me again. But you know what? Live photo, pal. Live photo. All the kids can make fun of me for putting the live photo on my photos all you want. But guess what? Terry, I got a free picture that I didn't pay for of my kids in the hand of King Kong, so put that in your pipe and smoke it, nerd. Got a free picture. My wife can narc on me. You can be a little deer, D-bagger, but I got my photo, and I didn't pay for it, so, you know, felt good about it. Next, we got home just in time to, let me see. This was on March the 16th, and we made it all the way up to Livingston, Tennessee, and I want to thank, first and foremost, the Florida Tribe, Trisha and her husband Fred, Amanda and Hazy Cannon, Jeff Stevens, and his wife, the gift basket that the Florida Tribe brought me to Livingston for the Addison Johnson Show. Really cool that Trisha and Fred came down and hung out with Brenda Keith, which I would remind you, is the official sponsor of the North Spring Sessions podcast, Brendan Keith, Don Franklin Chevrolet in Burkesville, Kentucky. New, pre-used, pre-owned, however you want to word it. She's got everything. Go up there and check her out in Burkesville, Kentucky. And she was at the Steel Coop that night that we all ate. And they gave me my gift basket, which was a nice little basket full of Red Bulls with Tito's vodka. A sponsorship check from the Florida Tribe to the North Springs Music Festival. Much appreciated there. Florida Tribe stickers, hats, a couple cool frame photos from them. So much love to my Florida Tribe. That's what I said. Music brings everybody together. I've met those people literally one time, now two times in my life. And big sponsors of the festival. And, yeah, much love there. And so we got to check out Addison Johnson, the new album, and just dropped first of the month, Dangerous Men. You know, he had three album release parties, Livingston being the last one of the Iron and Oak Event Center. And you know what's crazy is Addison has just released a song called F5. He's not released it. He just performed it live. And I'm like, dude, you're killing me. I said, these songs, this album took so long to get out. Now we have to look. I mean, when are you going to release F5? I said, this is another banger. And I said, now we're going to have to wait how long for that to be released on an album. So a good crowd in Livingston. I would like to play you, since it's been so long since we recorded. We're at the 14-minute mark right now. I'm going to be all over the place because I got a shit ton of stuff to catch up on for the month. And I'm going to do it because God knows when I'll get to the podcast again. So I'm going to pause real quick, and I'm going to come back with one of Addison's songs off the album. All right, I'm back, and like I said, the album Dangerous Men, 11 tracks, Following the Dark Side of the Mountain, which was officially Addison's first major release. That was released in 2021, had the hits Rolling Stolen, You'll Do Just Fine, Heartache in the Hills, Cumberland River 58, Dark Side of the Mountain, and on. Well, this one, another 11 tracks, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know if this is because most of these songs were released while I've been friends with Addison, you know, and, you know, Addison had some vocal issues come up, as we all know about. So this album really got prolonged. because of the stuff Addison had to go through. But a lot of these songs we've been hearing, if you're a constant Addison Johnson concert attendee, you've heard Out of Control, which is, again, one of the best country songs that's been released in the last decade, in my opinion, and a lot of people are just finding out about. You've also heard Highway, his duet with Alex Williams, The Busker, Country Inn. I feel like I've been listening to Country Inn for forever and a day. But some of the new songs that had not been released previously as much, here's the title track off of that. This is Dangerous Men.
Got a hidden man looking for me. The only Lincoln I got is from 83. Big brother keeps me on a pretty short leash. He charged me for water and he taxed me to breathe. I called to the Lord, but I ain't got a dime. The only sign I've seen is on a picket line. If pressure's a privilege, I don't want it no more, 'cause it's a privilege I can't afford. Desperate times make some desperate men. Oh, and desperate men commit some dangerous sins. When the pantry is empty and you're all out of sense, desperate times make some dangerous men. Outside of June's grocery with a gun in my hand. I've gone to this store nearly all of my life, and what I take from that safe is gonna carry a price. The babies are hungry and the wife is through. With my back against a wall, I don't know what to do. If my daddy could see me, he wouldn't believe how an honest living made a thief out of me. Desperate times some desperate men. Desperate men commit some dangerous sins. When the pantry is empty and you're all out of sense, desperate times.
I mean, just absolute killer song by my buddy Addison. Like I said, I've seen how hard Addison worked, man. We talk constantly on the phone. I talk to him probably more on the telephone than any other person in this world, honestly. And he hates for me to say it. Like when he calls, he's like, man, I just wrote a good one. You know, and like I said, we've joked about it. Lindsay's been in the car. She's like, oh, it's cool. It's cute. It's y'all. You know, I'm like, you know, whatever. When he wrote F5, he called me. I was coming back from Monterey High School where Waylon had just played a ball game. He's like, man, I gotta tell you this song. So I'm just pissed because we're going to wait forever for F5 to come out. And I'm not going to play this other song, but, man, probably the most well-written song on this entire, which is saying something, because this album, if you've not downloaded it, please go download it. Addison Johnson, Dangerous Men. This one, the last song, and it just kind of reflects on where Addison is at personally on his journey, sober for several years now. I mean, this guy's beating up the road like nobody's business. Everybody knows my favorite music venue that I've been to in the world is The Shed in Maryville, Tennessee. Addison just played, opened for Kendall Marvel. Kendall Marvel's not a household name for everybody. He's written songs for Chris Stapleton, Jamie Johnson, George Strait. That's enough to make a career right there. But, you know, Kendall started about 7, 8 years ago performing his own stuff. Addison played there. From all accounts, by talking to Addison and talking to my boys at The Shed, that will not be a one-time thing. And but this reflects my, you know, where Addison's at in his career. This is called Reason to Run, track number 11.
As At the ripe old age of 32, still doing things I shouldn't do, like writing broken melodies that rhyme. They thought by now I'd give it up, get a job, pack the truck, but here I stand beneath the colored lights. And even though I'm off the wine, I still can't seem to walk the line with that cul-de-sac dream always sold. That picket fence looks like a jail. It robbed the wind from my sails with a story already been told. Well, I'm living for the day, 'cause every day's worth living. Think you had a bad one? Well, just try missing. I stick it to the man with every chord that I'm picking, breaking every rule as it comes, never needing a reason to run.
Just an absolute awesome song. And just listening to Hank to start the show. Now a couple little excerpts from Addison Johnson makes me want to say thank you to my friends at TriStar Beverage, Cookeville, Tennessee, for this cold, refreshing, Bush Light to help the working man get through the week here. It's been a long Monday. It's been a long month. I'm telling you what we've done the last month. Why you not heard? I went Haydenburg on you, that you ain't heard this angelic voice for the last month. And after Addison, it was a week of work. And then went on down to Fort Worth, Texas, Dallas Love Field Airport. I was doing something one day, and Jeremy Mackey tagged me on Facebook, and Chief Records had put out and said, Cody Jinks is going old school on March 22nd when his album Change the Game is released. He's going to do an album release, meet and greet, at Chief Records in the stockyards of Fort Worth. Historic stockyards, by God. And all you had to do is buy the vinyl. So I screenshotted to Waylon. I said, hey, kids, you want to take a trip to Texas? And Lindsay said, well, I want to go too. And I said, shit, did I put you on this text message? Just kidding. So next thing you know, I went to the hit part where I hit three. Purchase, boom. Oh, shit, I guess we're going to Fort Worth. Top two, you know, you had to be the first 200 people. I just assumed that 200 people would beat us to that opportunity. But they didn't. So bags were packed and flights were booked. And me and Lindsay and Waylon went on down to Dallas and flew in early that morning. You can look at us. We obviously ate at a very healthy breakfast spot where none of us were satisfied because none of us were healthy eaters. That was obviously sarcasm. We had time to kill. Went to JFK's assassination site. Not a lot to see. A couple X's in the road, but we didn't do the museum, which would have been cool, but we just didn't. Me and Waylon were interested, but Lindsay wasn't, so... You know, happy life, happy wife, happy life, happy life, say whatever you got to say. Then we went on down to Jerry's World. Initially, I was disappointed that the Dallas Cowboys weren't doing stadium tours. Then I just happened to look a couple days in advance, and they had opened it up. So I bought three tickets to tour the stadium. Very cool. Even if you're not a football fan per se, you don't even have to be a Cowboys fan. But if you're in Dallas and the option is to tour, man, you need to tour Jerry's World or AT&T Stadium. I would love to see an event there. I've been there twice now. Me and Mackie went, took our very intimate self-portrait on the Dallas Cowboys star there 3 years ago. The field was tore up. They were having soccer tournaments that weekend, so we didn't get to do the Cowboys cheerleaders dressing room nor tour the field, but the rest of the tour was open. Had a nice little short 4 foot lady named Sammy who did a hell of a tour. Really cool. There was non-Cowboys fans, including myself, on it. Now listen, I was a Cowboys fan in 92 93 94. When I first learned football, we didn't have the Titans, so I did root for the Cowboys because they were winning, because that's what most kids do. They jump on bandwagons. Listen here, I was on the freight elevator. We took all, 30 of us in the tour, 40, how many people was on the tour, down to the around to the stadium. And it, like, shifted. It was, like, making all these god-awful noises. And they say, somebody's like, oh, this don't sound good. And I said, smooth as a Cowboys playoff game. Obviously being a smart ass. No, was I in the wrong? Maybe. Guy was like, coming from a Titans fan. And I guess his sister, girlfriend, whatever, she's like, what does that mean? The Titans aren't even good either. I'm so sick of it. Like, I'm so sick. But listen, I just looked at him. I was like, it's not that serious, pal. Right? That's what I was thinking. I was like, it's not that serious. You know? And he was like, they're not good. I was like, I mean, we've made the playoffs too. I know I've ranted about this before. I've ranted about this on Twitter. I've ranted about it on Facebook. It's not worth it. Me and a friend of mine got into it on Twitter a couple years ago over it. But to this guy, I was the one being a smartass. Did I start the fight? Yes. Did he look at the Titans like they were bottom of the barrel, trash bag, poverty franchise? Also, yes. But when all reality is, this kid was maybe 26 to 28 years old at best. AKA, he ain't seen the Cowboys win shit in his life, okay? Thank God for the NFL Network and YouTube or his daddy's VHS tapes, because that's the only time he's seen the Cowboys beat anything relevant. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm so sick of this fantasy world we're living in. Did I go tour the stadium? Yes. It is a sight to see, brother. Are the Cowboys the most storied franchise in the history of the NFL? Right up there. You know, you're looking at Cowboys, Steelers, you know, that Packers. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are the Dallas Cowboys. They're America's team, so to speak. But it does get old. As I said, if I watch a 60-minute NFL live, you know, especially when Tom Brady played, you're going to get like 25 minutes Tom Brady, 25 minutes Dallas Cowboys, and the rest of the putrid league gets 10 minutes, right? And I know they have commercials. I know it don't break down exactly like that, but really. So, like, I look at the Jacksonville Jaguars as the most abysmal franchise probably that I've ever known, right? I mean, like, they've had a couple times as a franchise where they're pretty decent, okay? But overall, you wouldn't look at them as like juggernauts of the league, right? But you look at the Dallas Cowboys as juggernauts of the league because you're always seeing them on in primetime every single week. But if you pull the records and pull the numbers, the Jacksonville Jaguars actually have more playoff wins in the last 25 years than your Dallas Cowboys. So jack off in the camouflage pants and the little wispy Sturgill Simpson mustache. Get over yourself, kid, because you ain't ever seen him win nothing. If you want to sit under the learning tree, I'll tell you about how bad Emmitt and Aikman and Irvin was, because I saw it when I was 8 years old. When I had the Dallas Cowboys jersey wearing even cooler camouflage pants than you with high top chucks. When I was 8 in 1992, I seen it. I watched them win. I watched the confetti. I didn't hear about it secondhand. They never won nothing. Yes, the Titans are that franchise that celebrates losing a Super Bowl. I get it. That's mediocre as it gets too. We celebrate a trick play from 24 years ago. We're no better, but nobody thinks we are. Dallas Cowboys, just living in your pretend world. But you're just as mediocre as the rest of us, pal. You just actually have a cooler stadium and a wealthy owner that everybody knows. But I digress, because I've got friends that are Cowboys fans, and they'll give me the business. But look in the mirror and tell yourself the truth. You're no better than the Titans. You're just the Cowboys. And you're living on something that you built 25 years ago. Let it go. Looks like I might have to let it go. Then after that, we went on down to the Stockyards of Fort Worth, checked into their hotel, went over to Chief Records, owned by my friend Mike Underwood. I've been talking to Mike for about 2 years on Facebook. Really interested in becoming a sponsor, because Chief Records is the be-all, end-all when it comes to record stores in the United States. The Texas music scene has several shows that you can see that locally on the weekends. They have a lot of segments from Chief Record Store at that location on that television show. So got to meet Cody Jinks and the whole band. Really cool setup. You know, like I said, guys like Cody Jinks of that magnitude don't really just do meet and greets. But that's kind of what, Chief Records is that big. And Cody's had a great relationship with Mike for all these years. And You know, we got to joke around about North Springs Music Festival. I told him, you know, his buddy Ward Davis is headlining. I was like, hey, this is the same little town basically you and Ward partied in during COVID and hung out with the who's who of Jackson County back then. I mean, not me, you know. Shout out once again, Dave-O, for trying to include me in the... It's a joke. So we joked about Ward. Talked about Jay Sneedy and Cody Canada. Waylon told him, he was like, hey, you're my first, you know, we came all the way from Tennessee, and Jinx is like, oh, we've been in Tennessee quite a bit lately. And I said, yeah, you were his first concert. And he's like, well, damn, make me feel old here. And I said, well, I just knew it was going to be a little baby or a little Uzi or something. So I had to get him to a good show. And I finally got him to one of your shows. And he talked about Co Wetzel. And I said, you know, it pisses me off that some fans are so young and stupid about music that they don't even know the reference when he says, she misses Ragweed like I do. They don't know that's the baddest ass band in all of Texas, Oklahoma, Red Dirt scene. That if Cross Canadian Ragweed didn't exist, that neither would any of your little Parker McCollums and Co Wetzels would not be happening today. So put some respect on my man, Cody Canada's name. When you talk about that, that leads, though, however, talking about Cody Jinks, because Cody's like, man, me and Cody Canada are the old guys now. But, the self-titled album, or the title from the album, Changed the Game. I think that anybody can relate to that. I look at it like, even on my small town perspective stuff, like even with the festival, you know, nobody thought it would be what it is, and people around here don't even recognize what it is. Like I said, I go out to Red Bull and Springs, they don't even know it exists, but there's. First month of ticket sales, we got 16 states coming, and by God, Toronto, Canada, up there, our family, our friendly friends from Toronto, Canucks, are coming. I know Toronto's the Maple Leafs, they're not the Canucks. I'm just saying Canucks, because it's a Canadian word, and I'm glad to have them here, so nobody really realizes we're all trying to do our part, right? And it changes the game, and you know, Cody Jinks coming up, in independent country music. And no matter what you do, like if you're big time like Cody Jinks, or you're just trying to change whatever you do to try to be great, try to be better, if you feel like you're trying to help change the game whatsoever, you can relate to this song right here, and we'll play a little bit of it.
Down these highways, put up, wet and rode too hard, worked to death to earn respect, and I've earned every single scar. I always thought that this was crazy, didn't know it'd go this far, but here I am. These wheels, they keep on turning, headed right into the stars. I know it's all been worth it, man, I sure miss playing bars. All I ever really wanted was to sing and play guitar with my friends. Some said I'd never make it, that I didn't do things right. So I showed them who I was, and then I made it just to spite. I changed the game, stood in the rain. I may be borderline insane, been messed around, I've been put down, but I keep coming back again. I'll wear that hat, yeah, I'm the punk, says I did it my own.
Keep doing it your own way. By God, if nobody likes what you're doing, but you're seeing results, do it your own way. Don't let anybody tell you any different. I'm very adamant about that. I'm very proud of what I've built here. And for a lot of times, people would make fun. I've told you about those people that said, oh, yeah, get on the bill. And, oh, yo, you got so-and-so playing. I could play there. You know, those people are becoming a little less scarce when you got Ward Davis and Cody Canada and them Dirty Roses and Hannah Dasher and Taylor Honeycutt and Cole Chaney. You know what I'm saying? Like, people don't realize when you start off, me and Lucas started One Lane Road Podcast. People made fun of it because they didn't know what a podcast was. I started the festival. People made fun of it because I was advertising, you put locals on it. You got to start somewhere, and much loved all those locals that did play it because they played a part in it. You know what I mean? People disrespecting the locals. You know what? They without them taking a chance, it don't happen. It gets bigger each year. So to hell with those people. You know what I'm saying? People make fun and don't like of stuff they don't understand that they don't do. And you know, I'm telling you, you can't. Yeah, I used to worry about those people. As long as you know what you're doing and seeing success, to hell with those people and their miserable lives, because people's always going to say something. So if it's something you enjoy, you keep pressing forward. And I just think that song right there, that's really speaks magnitude to that. What else do you do in Texas? Joe T. Garcia. I've been talking about that Mexican restaurant. I've been hearing, like, every time I went to Fort Worth, Dallas area, I was like, man, we got to check out Joe T. Garcia. Sucked. Awful. Salsa was good. Environment was great. Food was not that good. And I told the girl, I said, I'm really disappointed. I said, I don't want my money back. I'm not going to give you a bad review on Yelp. I just seen all this good stuff. And I was like, the food just wasn't that great. She goes, oh, honey, the food ain't great. It's the margaritas, baby. The margaritas is what keeps everybody coming in. I said, okay, duly noted. I'll get margaritas next time. Because your quesadillas suck, baby. You know. So it wasn't great. Oh, well. Did get a steak in the Stockyards, Fort Worth. It made it all better later on. Also, again, thank you, Mike Underwood, before I get too far off of that, for throwing such a kick-ass party there of Cody Jinks. It's not every day you get to meet your favorite musician like that in a very chill, laid-back environment. Got to see Billy Bob's for the third time. So all three very different environments when me and Mackie went. Got to see Hank Jr. when me and Brad, Becky, and Lindsay went. We didn't go during the concert hours. We didn't really know the person singing. So we went and watched line dancing. And that was about as entertaining as anything. This time we didn't go until the next day. We were there that Saturday morning, right when they opened. I just wanted Waylon to see everything. They've got some really good displays. So, like, historically, when somebody plays Billy Bob's for the first time, they have these things where they make imprints of their hand. And you can kind of put your hand in theirs. And, you know, and it's got a bunch of cool things. It's got, like, a fiddle that Charlie Daniels played there. It's got a bunch of ticket stubs and photos for the first time George Jones played there. Not the first time, but, like, in 1982, Willie Nelson from 83. They do have a Cody Canada smashed guitar, which was really cool. I felt like, you know, I like I told you on this, I'm a sentimental old fool. And sometimes it just feels right. Like, I'm with my wife, I'm with my kid, I'm trying to get him, he's about to graduate on us, I'm trying to make memories with him. We walk into Billy Bob's, the world's largest honky-tonk, one of the most famous honky-tonks in the world, and Cody Canada, Cross Canadian Ragweed's playing over the speakers as soon as it's open. I didn't drink a lot of beer on that trip just because it was with my family, and it was a really short trip, but I did. When in Texas, you got to drink two beers, Shinerbach and Lone Star. So I went up to the bar and got me a Shinerbach, walked around Billy Bob's looking at all the displays. Cross Canadian Ragweed comes on as soon as I buy my Shinerbach. I was like, man, everything's right with the world. I'm in Texas. I'm in Billy Bob's. Cross Canadian Ragweed's playing over the speaker, and I'm drinking Shinerbach beer, hanging out with my wife, the original child, the OG three of the family. And anyway, Cody Canada's got a smashed guitar, usually in a frame, from one of his shows, one of their old Ragweed shows at Billy Bob's. And they're taking it off and asked the lady, and they were reframing it. So, yeah, we got to do all the things in Texas there. And Waylon went away buying him a cowboy hat, and I posted a picture on my Snapchat and said, goes to Texas one damn time. And you know what, though? Good for him. He wore it to Hank Jr. the other night, and it looks good on him. I look like the big foam hats they sold to the Macho Man Randy Savage, like in 95 and WCW, every time I tried a cowboy hat on. I've tried cool hats, because Clint Fraley one time said, you're a fucking promoter now. You can't just be wearing ball caps. So I try. Like, I've tried to buy, like, a little small hat like Jason Eadie wears, you know. That didn't look right on me, so I sent it back. I bought this big wide-brimmed hat to go to Texas a couple years ago, and I looked like a damn reject from Florida Georgia Line or something. Like me and Lindsay had swapped hats for the week, you know. Looked a little less masculine than I intended on. I've tried cowboy hats on. It looks like a 10-gallon bucket on my head. I just, you know, I don't know what to do. I want to look cool. I want to have a look. I don't just want to wear my own North Springs ball caps my whole life. But I can't find a hat that fits. Like, I tried on Addison's. I was like, man, this Stetson open country right here. This is gonna look cool. And he's like, brother, that ain't you. He's you're a country boy. He's like, you need a cowboy hat. And I said, I'm telling you, a damn cowboy hat don't look right on my head. So I've got to find something. So overall, really fun trip to Texas. It's funny, my dad, you know, no matter how old you get, brother, you know, if you're listening, it don't matter how old you get, as long as you have parents in your lives. You know, I knew I'd been trapped, like, you know, we went to Lexington, right? Got a babysitter. We just got back from Gatlinburg. I knew I was doing some stuff later in the month. I didn't even tell my daddy. My daddy lives 1/4 mile from driveway to driveway. I didn't tell him. Me and Lindsay, I said, don't post nothing on Facebook. We've got a babysitter lined up. Had dog sitting duties lined up. We posted on Facebook the next morning. And a guy went down to see him, and I got back. We went late. We got home. We flew out early, early Friday morning, got back late, late Saturday night, and I drove home late. Like, it was late, late. So I went back the next morning, and he said, well, when did you get home? I said, well, we got home late last night. Well, I didn't even know you went until Linda showed me on Facebook this morning. I said, yeah, man, being, you know, I'm just afraid you get mad at me. He said, yeah, he couldn't do nothing but chuckle, kind of. I was afraid. I'm afraid you'd fuss at me for going too much. Because, you know, my dad's big thing is, even back years ago, and I'm starting to get it now, because everything you do costs money, especially now in 2024. I remember one time I got free tickets to a ball game, and I told Daddy, I said, I'm going to the ball game Sunday. Well, you spend a lot of money doing a lot of running around. I said, yeah, Daddy, it's a free ticket. I understand it's a free ticket. By God, gas ain't free, food ain't free, and cold beer that I guarantee you're drinking ain't free. So I'm finally getting it, but I'm still going. Y'all know I believe, me and Clint Fraley, I don't make the most money. I don't know if Clint's ever made the most money, but we're a big believer in life experiences. And I understand we all should be putting money in a savings account. I really believe I should probably be putting more into that savings account. And I think I should be matching my work's 401k a little bit more. But I also know I could die in a week. I could die tomorrow. And if I get sick, yeah, I'm going to need that money. But I want, you know, I got a few regrets. You're going to have regrets in this life. There's things I would run back in time to fix and make yourself a better person. But you can't. You got to live with those regrets. And one thing I'm not going to ever regret is living life. I believe you only get one life, and if you want to go to a show, go to a show. If you want to go to a ball game, if you want to go whatever in the hell you want to do, as long as it's legal. I mean, as long as it's legal. I know I need more. I don't make that. I mean, my money is my money, and I know I should be saving it, putting some back. But if I go tomorrow, by God, I live my life, and that's the way I feel about it. I think we all should live life. You know, why sit there at 76 years old and say, man, I wish I could have done this, and man, I wish I could have done that, and I'm just never going to be that person. And I may die broke. I may be that one old son of a bitch working when I'm 90 years old because I don't have enough money to retire. I don't know if I make it to 90. But within reason, you got to have money, but you can't take it with you either, so. So, hell yeah, I went to Texas. Then when we got back, we worked another week. Then Rye Damn Davis brought the band to Gainesboro for the first time. We've been having Rye Davis in here since 2019, thanks to the Fraley family hooking me up on that. And me and Rye and Brandy have made great friends. And you know what? Brandy killed it. She opened for the first time ever. First time she's ever been on a microphone. And I just think she did a beautiful, beautiful job. Brandy's such a sweetheart. Me and her will get on the phone, and we'll talk forever. Then Rye will come in from the farm, and me and him will talk, and we'll all three be on the phone. And I just got so much love for the Davis family. She did a Holly Williams cover to kick off the night that I just thought was fantastic. And I want to play a little bit of that. I wasn't going to start with, but I remembered that Lindsay has it on her Facebook. So I'm going to find that real quick and play just a snippet. Because I was just blown away just how good Brandy did on this.
Why are you screaming like I don't have ears? Why are you screaming like I don't have ears? Well, baby, I can hear you loud and clear. So why are you screaming like I don't have ears? Why are you cheating on a woman like this? Why are you cheating on a woman like this? I raised your babies and I kissed your lips. Yeah.
Great job by Brandy. That was before the crowd got really loud and ornery in the back. I tell you what, I just get so frustrated at times. You know, people were saying, "Hey, tell them we can't hear in the back." And I told old Isaiah, the one who runs the sound, the boy. I said, "Would you tell them if they shut the hell up in the back, they might be able to hear something." You know, I'm that kind of ornery guy. But then again, you know, it make people mad because you want them to keep coming to your shows. But you ask for people to be respectful because she was just acoustic. She's very soft spoken anyway. And there was a lot of chit and chatter. You're gonna have that, I guess. It shows people, no matter what you do, no matter what kind of culture you try to change, people are always going to talk at shows. My thing's like, you know, I don't know. That's another tangent for another day, but every listening room in America has fought that battle since day one. So, now people who have been excited to see Addison Rye, that's my friends at Helen's Restaurant, Highway 56 in Gainesboro. You know, they just, they've been around since 1987. They've been sponsors of the North Springs Music Festival, and they were sponsors of this podcast. Also, if you went to the Casty Baseball Classic over the weekend, Helen's with the food truck, always there, satisfying people. Best fish around. Thank you, Kristen, Carol, and the family for their continued support, North Springs Music Festival and the North Springs Sessions Podcast. Go see them up there on Highway 56 in Gainesboro. Well overdue for me to go up there and get me a fish plate as we speak. So, then it was Rye's turn. Rye brought the band for the first time, which is really cool. Rye released a song finally, and he's got an album coming out. He's got two albums in the can, honestly. And this song is, and I've already fast-forwarded like 45 seconds through it. Go download it. It's called Monsters. I remember hearing this when he played an acoustic songwriter series with Ashlyn Craft, Ben Chapman, and Hannah Dasher the spring of last year. About this time last year, I went down to the Nashville Palace. Such a damn powerful song. It's talking about the monsters, when the only monsters you knew when you were a kid was under the bed and all that, and now you grow up, there's monsters everywhere. This is really powerful. This is the chorus.
Every day was fun. Right and wrong were clear to see, and I could tell who was my friend. I find myself wishing that I could go back again to paper airplanes and BB guns, pocket knives and arrowheads, and the innocence of being young. A world was supper time and nursery rhymes and the words that Jesus said, and the monsters lived under the bed.
Great song by Rye, also just released this week, actually, or last week. It's called Trouble.
You thought you wanted and the debt you can't afford. I'm the girl that you gave everything that turned out to be a whore. I'm the one too many good time, late night DUI. I know where that I'm troubled. You never see me coming. I sneak up from behind, and I pray on good intentions, 'cause they make the best disguise. And my favorite time to strike is when things are going good. I never look like you think I would. I'm troubled.
My God, Rye Davis and Brandy Davis can play on my team any day of the week, twice on Sunday. They're great people. Music, secondary, also obviously great. Everybody knows Rye Davis should have been a star years ago. I have Addison Johnson in that same stratosphere. And Brandy, God bless her. She's been wanting to do it forever. She's finally getting in front of people, putting some songs out there. I'm very proud of her for that. So much love to the Davis family. The very next night, thank you to the Bull and Thistle, Barry, Diana, that awesome-ass staff. You know, there was a lot of bad feelings years ago that didn't reflect around Barry or Diana. Of miscommunication that, you know, I always played around that we would talk about that when we talked about North Springs Music Fest 2021, kind of water under the bridge because it wasn't them. There is going to be a lot more shows between myself and the Bull and Thistle in the near future, two that I'm working on right now. So very appreciative of everything they did to make that show happen for Brandy and Rye. The next night, we went to Cold Chaney, Knoxville, Tennessee, Barley's Tap Room. Had not been in that room since I saw Chris and I there back in 2004 or 5, to date myself there. I think it was early 2005, actually. You know, it was always good to see Cole and the band. I've not seen them since the music festival. I seen Cole at the Ryman when he opened for Charles in December. Didn't see the band. You know, real awkward, you know, just I'll always have Cole Chaney. I'll always support that band. First and foremost, y'all know that. And one thing I'll always pride myself on, no matter what happened at this music festival last year, as many of you know, and all that stuff, it's water under the bridge now, and I hope it is. But you know, I take pride that, you know, Matt Aldridge, a long time ago, said, "Hey, look up Cole Chaney," and I was like, holy shit. And we brought him to Roaring River Distillery. That show that 40, 50, 60, I don't know how many people was there, saw Cole Chaney, and I've been working with his manager, Jesse, ever since, and I just got all kinds of respect in the world for Jesse. And you know, we played the North Springs Music Fest 2022 acoustic, brought the band last year. I've not touched on ever what happened, but people that know what happened. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is what happened. I'm just in a very vague, I was still very green at booking music, especially festivals. And sometimes you promise people spots, then things change. Long story short, I had promised someone a spot, right? A spot, subject to change kind of spot. And when we added Cole, I said, "Hey, I'm moving him up the card." It was never an issue until the day of. And I've talked to, you know, probably in private about this. And you know, it just, I thought with the relationship there that I'd built, instead of holding my ground and taking care of the person and the management that I'd been close with and I'd worked with, because I truly believe in every freaking thing about that deal. I believe in the musician, the band, the management. You know, you're talking about somebody who just does this on the side. This is not my main job. Wish I would have held to my guns and been loyal to the people who've been loyal to me and just said, "Hey, things change." Because just this year with North Springs, I found out that contracts don't always just hold up. Confirmations don't always just hold up. So, you know, didn't feel good about it that day. I asked people to move around and time slots, and I didn't feel good about it. Hated it. Got to drinking too much beer because I hadn't ate anything. And it turned out to be something you work on all year long. You ended up not enjoying. Hated it. It looked like I was having the best time of my life, but inside it was personal hell asking someone that you believe in, that you care about as a musician, as a person, and the management, asking them to sacrifice their spot when in fact they had done everything in their power to promote it. So it sucked. It sucked. I wish I could take it back. And that's not an indictment on the other musician, because by all accounts, they went out there and kicked ass, had their own crowd to appease to. I didn't like the way things went down throughout the night at times, but you learn this is a business, and people have egos, and people have things you work through. And you learn that as you go. And by all accounts, both acts that were affected went out there and kicked ass and did what they were supposed to do on stage. I mean, both of them. There was a crowd for one, there was a crowd for the other, and there was some people for both. And nobody went home disappointed with either one of the acts. And I can take solace in knowing that probably 20 people went to Knoxville the other day that had discovered Cole Chaney in Jackson County. That guy's going to be a star no matter what. You know, there's nothing to do with me, but I am proud that this little, I've always said, if you come here and play, people will travel to see you. I mean, you can ask them Dirty Roses, there's a ton of people that's going to see them now when they're local. And so I just felt a little pride that knowing people who listened to them at the distillery and people who came to the festival traveled to Knoxville to see Cole and the band, and they're awesome. That band is bigger and better. You're damn right I wanted them back for this year. Of course I wanted Cole Chaney and the band back for North Springs Music Festival. I mean, that goes without saying. And it didn't happen this year, and I always – and you never know for the future, but if I could do anything ever different – there's two things I've ever done differently. Then, by God, I would have offered Charles Wesley Godwin in 2021 when I got offered him, and I would have left well enough alone and never ask anyone to switch spots for a contract. So still to this day, much love to all that management. I mean, Jesse doing big things. Now it's turned over to someone else. But yeah, Cole and that band put on a hell of a show up in Knoxville. They get tighter, seemed like, every time I see them. Seen them for the first time at Railbird last year, and seen them a few times since then. So, you know, congratulations to him on his success and all that. And but yeah, it was a great show. So that was so changing it up, and we'll I was trying to make a good segue there, but yeah, that's the thing about like the festival. I was going to go into the festival, and we can talk about that real quick. We'll talk about some festival stuff before I finish up on the Hank Jr. Hank Jr. festivities here. North Springs, it's a tricky thing, right? Because you learn that it's a business, and I've been very vague about it, but I don't want to, like, and this is not throwing shade, but when the band Old 60 made it, so to speak, when they started trending on TikTok, Instagram, I was like, man, this is something that sounds like it's going to be really cool. So I started sending offers. Long story short, for everybody that asked me to get Old 60, found it kind of funny. By the time y'all discovered them and you found them, thank God to my, you know, shout out to my boy Thad Johnson and Landon Asbury. I had already sent the offer. It was confirmed. And unfortunately, this business, like I said, if I knew things didn't hold up as much, I wouldn't have swapped people around on their spots last year, because, yeah, we worked it out, and Old 60 was going to be at North Springs Music Fest. I told a couple people about it, said, hey, we can't announce it yet, and it didn't end up happening. Basically, I felt like something wasn't right, and I just asked the person who I was dealing with, and I said, hey, what's going on? I'm ready to announce it. And they said, yeah, let's just hold off for a little bit. And I was like, man, this something ain't right. And one day I just said, hey, man, listen, am I getting dicked around? Like, I want to make this announcement. I feel like this will help ticket sales. And you know, they said, hey, we're confirmed for Friday the 11th, but if something bigger comes along, we'll have to take it, because this is happening so quick. And one way you understand it, right? But second, it's like, well, what good's it to have an agreement if you're just playing me for a bigger payday, you know? And ultimately, about a couple weeks later, that's what happened. They called us, like, hey, I don't want to be the one to make this call, but hey, we've been picked up, and you know, good for those guys. I don't know them. By all accounts, they're gonna do some cool things, and I just that's the part of business that sucks, right? Like, they're like, well, thank you for, you know, jumping on early, and I was like, oh, I mean, yeah, cool, but you know, well, it don't give me nothing. You know, we frame that confirmation email. I don't know. It sucks, and I was hoping we could do something. And it's not sour grapes; it's business. And but there is a story about Toby Keith. You know that he agreed when he first came out to play a bunch of shows for $2,000. Then should have been a cowboy who came out, and he was making, you know, way much more than $2,000. But he still honored those $2,000 shows, because they showed, you know, they picked him up early, and they showed him they were on the ball. So you like to see something. Like I said, I got to work much harder, because I don't have tourism dollars, I don't have corporate dollars, it's just me and my local sponsors. So it's frustrating when something like that happens, and you think you're going to be able to really make a cool announcement like Old 60, that's by all accounts just tearing it up. And but we'll see where they're at come October. You know, they get the rocket strapped to them. And good for those guys. Like, by all accounts, like I said, they look promising. And they probably have no idea that happened. But it's business. I don't hold anything personal against that person. Hopefully we can do some business in some other facet. But people are coming, like I said, 16 states in the first month, including Alaska. First timer, Mary Saminsky, 3,000 miles away, coming from Alaska. People from Toronto, Canada coming. A few names we have added to the bill. Big for me, because I'm a Jennings family. Always been a big fan of the Jennings family. Wade Jennings, the son of Terry Jennings, grandson of Waylon Jennings, will be down here. And he just released, let me get to Wade's album. He released, just before the dawn, a six-song EP last September with the songs Wild Child, Old Country Song featuring Wes Shipp, who will also be at North Springs, Daredevil Just Before the Dawn, One Together, and The Woman Who No Longer Feels. Play a little bit of Wild Child here.
I was high as a kite, low as they come, fueled on cocaine pills and rum, when that little lady comes strolling into my life. She was sharp as a knife, pretty as a penny, soft to the touch and wild as any, and it didn't take long to know she'd be my wife. I used to be a wild child, like a freight train running, pedal to the floor, keep the good times coming, out all night like a wildcat on the prowl. Nowadays I got a wife and a baby, a peace of mind and a little less crazy. It's a good damn thing, so boys settling down.
I think Wade's gonna be a hit. You know, I'm a big Waylon fan, obviously named my oldest son Waylon. Anybody that knows me knows how much, you know, I appreciate everything Shooter Jennings has done. I mean, I've watched his concerts from day one, and then see him going into his producer role that he's in now, which is just, you know, really suits him. I think he really found his niche with that. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to add Way. His manager, Tammy, been on me. Man, we've been talking about this for about 3 years, and finally had us called. So, Tammy, let's get it done. Let's just get something done this year. And I'm excited about this song right here. You know, like I said, it's almost a guarantee we'll hear it. This is the last verse from Old Country Song featuring Wade Jennings. Or excuse me, I should say Wade Jennings featuring Wes Shipp. And this is the last verse here.
Now the kids are all grown and they've moved away. We're sitting in the kitchen of our old place. There's a record player in the other room. She says, drop that needle and play that tune. There ain't nothing wrong with a Waylon song. Listening to the hall, she can't go wrong. She asked me to because she's mine. Now we're dancing to Amanda in three-quarter time. Come with me and crawl into bed, and I'll love you till the daylight's gone. I ain't never gone wrong with an old country song. Yeah, you just can't go wrong with an old country song.
You hear that little bit of Waylon influence there? It's not hard to tell. That is his true grandson there. Wade Jennings making a great career, making a name for himself. There is a live from the Nashville Palace album on iTunes. You can go check that out. A lot of Waylon covers, and man, he does it justice. And for sure, we should hear that song with both of these guys in attendance. Very excited to add Way to the lineup. Also, I've added a couple people in the last little bit, and I'll read the complete lineup here in just a minute and tell you about some of the stuff we got going on. This is Parker Barrow. This is suggested by Chad Edwards.
Everything I own is rolling
That's peace, love, and rock and roll. And like I said, my buddy Chad Edwards hooked me up with that song. He put me on Parker Barrow. I started messaging him on Facebook. Next thing I know, me and the lead singer were talking, we're texting. I literally booked that from the hotel room in Nashville before I left for Fort Worth the next morning. Very excited about that. Man, the old Country Music Festival going to have a whole lot of rock and roll between Parker Barrow and Taylor Honeycutt, Them Dirty Roses, Tony Logan, the 184, the Comancheros, Low Water Bridge Band. Man, this is this ain't going to be no slow acoustic song swap. You know, this is I always said I loved having those acoustic song swaps throughout the year, but I don't want the festival. 2022 got a little slow. May also be my personal favorite, but it got slow, and I said never again. So last year we brought Hannah, TDR. This year there's damn near just as much rock and roll coming as there is country music. Another band I'd had my eye on until they dropped their EP, I was kind of on the fence. I was like, you know, maybe next year. And but like I said, after the EP dropped, I literally text their manager and said, let's do it. Let's get it done. Bill Taylor and the Appalachian Heathens. The Cumberland Avenue Sessions EP released on March the 24th. This is Heart of Appalachia.
Red fire smoke on the mountain. Chance to well, Uncle John singing and we're shouting. Blue moon of Kentucky and my soul always will. Granny's out there sitting on her old post swing.
I mean, good God, man. Like, I had downloaded that first single, and I was in the shower one day and just had my phone on shuffle outside. And I said, damn, what Sturgill release? I said, well, that's a new Sturgill song. I ain't ever heard it. When did that get on my playlist? And I looked, and I said, shit, Bill Taylor and the Appalachian Heathens. And I didn't even text Bill and said, how many times a week you get this Sturgill comparison? You know, but, man, they're the real deal. And I was at it and just tickled to death to add them. And so we're looking at a lineup, man. A two-day lineup right now as we speak, as we go through the lineup, and I take 100 years to find it. Ward Davis, Them Dirty Roses, Taylor Honeycutt, Wade Jennings, Tim Gooden, Low Water Bridge Band, The Comancheros, Hunter Flynn, Rye Davis, Addison Johnson, Rich Henderson, Tony Logue, Wes Shitt, Waylon Hannell, Sam Lowe, Parker Barrow, and Bill Taylor and the Appalachian Heathens. Now, a lot of people is going to say, I never heard of them. I'm so sick and tired. Petpeeve.com is where you can find that right there. I don't know how much more I've got to tell you. Guess what? So one day you didn't know who Garth Brooks was. One day you didn't know who Miranda Lambert was. I mean, I ain't saying they're all going to be playing the rhyming by the end of the year. But, I mean, there's some studs in this lineup. And I understand that maybe, just maybe, the casuals coming. Now, the people from coming out of state, they know. They know. Some of the locals, they know. But some of the other people be like, I don't know. I don't really want to go on Friday night because I've never heard of Hunter Flynn. You know, there's nothing I can do for you people at this point. I've had people text me, I don't know those people. The only reason I've never come is because I don't know them. Well, good. Don't come. I don't know what to tell you. Don't tell you. But, you know, I talked to a friend of mine. I'm not going to name drop him right now because he does a kick-ass festival of his own. And me and him were venting one day. And he said he literally had somebody come up and said, hey, man, you should get Charles Wesley Godwin. He's like, yeah, he's played 7 times for me. You know, you live in this county. Where was you at? He's like, and those are going to be the same people, Dustin, that 2 years from now be like, hey, man, you reckon you can get that Cole Chaney kid? You think you can get that Tim Gooden? I mean, there ain't nothing I can do. If I hate this saying, if you know, you know. You know? And, there's nothing I can do. If you're in and you give it a thought, give it a chance. There's, you know, I had a few people last year said, oh, rock and roll, don't bring them. Them Dirty Roses, man, keep it country. First people this year on Facebook said, please bring TDR back. Just trust me every now and then, damn. So I tell you a couple things that do suck about booking music festivals. And it's when people tag people on Facebook. Now, when I'm asking you to, when I'm saying, hey, man, who you listening to? Hey, who would you like to see? You know, that's okay. I talked to a buddy of mine. Like, again, I'm not going to throw him under the bus because he's a really, really good guy. But I was kind of venting to him one day, and I was like, man, I got this one cat that just keeps tagging the same person. And I said, it sucks because I don't know that I can bring that person to the festival this year. But I really like the guy he's tagging, and it makes me feel bad because you let personal feelings. He's like, yeah, I can see that where it's frustrating. I was like, well, dude, because you're doing it too. and we joked about it. And the guy he was tagging, I really like, and I really love and respect. And just like, you can't bring – there's only so many spots to a – you know, basically our Friday night's going to be like a night show. Then Saturday's going to be all day and night. There's only so many things. You don't bring the same people every year. But I got people that just like keep tagging the same people. And I'm just like – and one person I've even said like, hey, man, I'm probably not bringing that person this year. Like, it's not happening. They keep tagging them. It's just hard because, you know, I don't want to be a dick to nobody. But then again, like, I don't want these people to, like, take it personal that I ain't like, hey, so-and-so keeps tagging me. Like, why ain't I good enough to be there? And it's not the case because, damn, who am I? You know, I'm just trying to build something. But it's hard when you have relationships or you know these people that they're tagging. And I'm just like, well, I've got, like, 18 spots, man. And, you know, I don't know. And if you're that's a whole other rabbit hole we could go down, and I could talk about people that always tag themselves or whatever, but you know, it's a tough job because there's so many good musicians out there. That's the thing I run up on. Like, I mean, even from local, you know, I always like featuring local acts, but damn, it's getting, like, I'm still looking to, you know, take care of a couple local acts, get them on the bill and help me out, help them out, get them some exposure. And it's just tough. It's tough. So when you're tagging people that are damn good musicians, it hurts me. I promise you, it hurts because it's like hard for me to, you know, when you know them, you like them, and you're not bringing them, it sucks. The second thing is, I had a guy, and this is what really sucks, man. This guy commented on my post, and I guess he had been sending some stuff. And he's like, come on, man, you keep adding musicians to this thing all the time, but you ignore my email. And it just hit me the wrong way. And it pissed me off, but it also, like, bothered me because, again, you don't want to do somebody wrong because these guys are out there busting their ass for a living, and they're probably doing some good stuff, but I just didn't know them. And I finally was like, hey, dude, chill out. I was like, you know, this is not my main job. So this is just like this is my side hustle. I have a full-time job that requires attention, and I've got a family stuff that requires attention. I was like, I miss emails. And if this is not somebody that I know, sometimes it goes to my junk folder, and sometimes I'll read it, but yeah, I'm busy at the time. And I commented, I said that condensed version, but then the very next time I announced an act, he didn't take what I said as he fucking commented like three videos of his band on the post. Like, everybody else is like, oh, good get, great addition. This cat puts three of his own band's videos. I'm like, what the crap, dude? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, there's only so much you can do, man. I mean, and the thing is, yes, people might message me, right? You might be messaging, but how do you know those two bands weren't in the pipeline? I don't just announce everything at once. Like, sometimes offers are made. It might be a month or 2 months, 3 months before those go through. So it ain't like this guy's taking like a slap in the face that he's emailed me. I've not emailed him back. But like, the truth is, two of those were in the barrel. You know, like, they were already just waiting for an announcement, waiting for confirmation. So yeah, the guy does probably phenomenal work. And that guy is the reason that I actually was like, okay, I need to take time. So one night, just like I'm doing this podcast, making time for this podcast, I spent 3 hours one night going through my Facebook Messenger, both personal and the festival one, and also my email, and just emailing people, say, hey, man, we're full this year. Thank you for your interest. Because I, you know, you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be that guy leaving people on red. And, you know, it sucks when it's happened to me. So I don't have any ill feelings towards anybody, but it's tough. I want people to know that there's a lot of talented musicians out there, and I've only got so many spots, and I'm honored that people want to even play my festival. So it's all love. Speaking of that, look out for the podcast from Brian Jones, All Things Blues and Southern Rock. I got to be on that last week, 2 weeks ago, and this should be out maybe next month or so. We kind of just talked about the festival and how it started and what to expect, and had some fun questions at the end, kind of like hypothetical stuff. So big thank you to Brian Jones and also Jason for letting me take part of that. So my internet sucks out here. You know, like I said, Hal has set me up a second router out here, but it's down right now. So when they first hooked me up out here, my computer wouldn't connect to the Wi-Fi. So then I FaceTimed them from my phone, and it lagged like twice in the first 10 seconds. So I took three beers out to my truck, propped my beers up on the hood of my truck, and used them as a backdrop. I had three beers backdropping my phone, and it was down to one by the end. Holding my phone up as I could Zoom with these guys for well over an hour about the festival. So, again, thank you to All Things Blues and Southern Rock podcast. Should be looking for that fairly soon. Wrap up right here by saying, did get to finish by seeing Whiskey Myers, maybe the best rock and roll band going today, and Hank Jr., Rock and Randall Bocephus, the greatest of all time for my money, which I don't have a lot of it because I go see concerts all the time. Man, 74 years old and still just doing it. I'm just talking about, you know, I'm sick of the people who says, yeah, I seen him back in 86. Hell, he's damn drunk. He fell off a damn bar stool. Get over it. I mean, hey, what do you expect? He's the only person ever to be sponsored by Jim Beam, and he's so wild that he got kicked off a Jim Beam sponsorship. I mean, yeah, Bo Seaman's been known to pull one, okay? I mean, I've went on these rants. I'm not going to go on another Hank Jr. rant. But, like, thing is, why you can't ever sing with him. He changes the lyrics. And, again, I know I've said this rant. I just do it. I just go. And it, you know, at one time it bothered me that you can't sing along with Hank. At this point, I like to sit back and just see what he's going to say.
Don't sing me a song about making love to your drummer. Let me tell you, gay guitar pickers don't turn me on. Hey, we don't get into no Donna song. Do you happen to know one single Hank Williams song? Can't you see I'm a dinosaur? To that long time before. Have pity on a dinosaur. Give me my hat. Excuse me, man. Where's the
door? Hank, I do know one of your daddy's songs. You shitting me. I mean, he says it every time, and he goes into tear in my beer. He's the best of all time. Now, I don't know if he's no Shane Keith and Brian Haney at Doe Creek. I don't know if he's Jeremy Mackey at Bar on the Green. I don't know. Who can sing Dinosaur better? Because I've seen some good renditions of it. But I was happy to see the GOAT singing it in Birmingham, Alabama. Very happy that I could take Waylon to see that. That was very special for me. As the sentimental old fool that I am, like I said, my earliest memories are bouncing around Emma Bell Kennedy's house with my daddy's vinyl. The Born to Boogie record was the first Hank Jr. record that I ever heard. But I've heard them all ever since, you know. I started with Ricky Kennedy's vinyls, then I went on to be broken in by AJ and Brad Cragen on the every back road in Clay County to Hank Williams Jr. And now you won't find a bigger Hank Jr. fan, maybe, than Shane Keith and me. And so it meant a lot to take my son, the original child here, to see him. And I think he really enjoyed it. I told him, I said, now listen, I said, don't sing along. Don't be one of the people that fusses. Just sit back and listen to what the man says. He's going to be funny. He's going to be entertaining. He's full of himself. But he can do that because he's the best of all time. So anyway, that wrapped up my month of music. Good Lord. From Lexington to Gainesboro to Livingston to Fort Worth to Knoxville to Birmingham, Alabama. And now I get to stay home and be boring for a month or two. And I want to say, wrestling's cool, and I can't believe it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it's blown my mind how much media coverage featured WrestleMania 40, which I have spent the last two nights watching WrestleMania 40, Saturday night and Sunday night. I can't lie, won't lie. No need in it. I've watched it my whole life. My first wrestling memory was watching Hogan slam Andre at WrestleMania 3 when I was 3 years old. And I've watched every one of them. Hadn't missed a one. I'm a wrestling nerd. Don't care to admit it. I was a wrestling fan before wrestling was cool. I've been through all the boom periods. I'm not ashamed of it. I watched it. I'm not a Cody crybaby. I'm Team Roman Reigns and The Rock. And, you know, I was so happy that The Rock could have came back and just milked the old gimmick and did the old corny, cheesy sayings. If you smell what The Rock is cooking and the jabroni and know your role, all that. And he didn't do it. He became the final boss, a really nasty heel character, and really blurred the lines of reality and television. Some of the cussing and blood and everything they've done. And phenomenal job by The Rock. He really brought a lot of eyeballs in. And Roman Reigns, really cool, you know. There's just like cool personified. You see Roman and The Rock both walk into the ring, and they're both 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", whatever, jack, both chiseled. Like every whatever man, you know, nobody wants to say, man, I want to look like Kevin Owens. You know, not one of us. You know, I don't have to because I look like Kevin Owens. Like if I wrestle, that's what I would be, baggy shorts and a T-shirt. You know, everybody, like I just want, like what you couldn't tell me nothing. If I could walk out the house one time and look like Dwayne Johnson, I wouldn't even own a shirt. Like, he barely owns shirts. Like he cuts everything out. You couldn't tell me nothing if I looked like Dwayne Johnson one day. But no, it was really cool. I think WrestleMania, you know, I've heard it. I heard about it on the radio, like random, like on 93.7 this morning. They even had a feature that, you know, sports radio from 104.5, all the sports heads from the zone were talking. They didn't talk about it on the air that I heard, and I'm sure they did at some point. But every one of them on their Twitter last night was talking about WrestleMania. So, and just a big time. Right now, as I'm recording, I've got Monday Night Raw on mute, just watching it. Because the Raw after Mania really tends to be special. Pretty boring tonight so far, or I would have not been able to do this podcast so easily. As I'm watching right now, as the main event's going on at 9:51. But yeah, it was cool. And I'd like to say a shout out to WSKY. Check out their feed. You can go to my Facebook and find them. WSKY Independent Radio. They're featuring everybody, all the country acts, all independent acts, Red Dirt, Outlaw. Once again, shout out Brenda Keith, Don Franklin Chevrolet for her sponsorship. Shout out Helen's Restaurant, Baltimore Ravens, Derrick Henry can kick rocks. That was the last thing I talked about on here with Shane, and unfortunately, Derrick Henry is a Baltimore Raven, so I will root for him to rush for about 562 yards this year. I don't want him to get injured. And they now have two of the best five running backs in the game with that quarterback of theirs that can't throw the ball. Piss on the Baltimore Ravens. I'm really scared about what the Houston Texans are doing down there. They're doing what you're supposed to do is buy all assets you can high while your quarterback's on a low rookie contract. Titans have done the same thing. I don't think they've done it quite to the magnitude of the Texans. They're playing a little bit of catch-up. So, yeah. That was a lot. A lot of stuff to cover. I know I rambled, but damn, it's been a month. Shane Keith come up here and messed me up so bad. I just couldn't. I couldn't act right. He said, "Damn, son." He said, "Did we do that bad? We've canceled the show. It's the last show, and I can't." You know, Shane sent me the picture of the DHL, and I said, "Bud Lights were flowing." And I just tell you, it was a fun episode. But hell, I'm afraid to. I'm just hoping I've not done an hour and a half, and I'm going to listen back in a little while, and the music didn't work. I tested it a few times, but so I apologize to you guys. Somebody the other day, somebody was getting their hair cut, and it's like, "Hey, does that guy have a podcast? My dad listens." And I'm like, "Oh, man." So he's the one. So I apologize to my dozens and dozens of hardcore listeners of the North Spring Sessions podcast that it was a month-long sabbatical. I'll try to do better. As you've heard, as I've told you, took you through my last month, that's what I've been doing, and I'm sorry if that bored you. You've got social media. You probably didn't give a damn, but I hope I entertained you somewhere along the lines. I love you. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you maybe next week, maybe not, on the North Spring Sessions podcast. Bye.